Welcome to Your Aged Care Compass podcast. Join us to find out how to support your older loved ones at home. We're going to help you make sense of Australia's aged care system. We talk about legal and financial considerations for aging and how chronic health conditions impact your older loved ones' well-being. And we share real life stories of where it went wrong for people and how we got them back on track.
Hi listeners, I'm Michelle, and it's lovely to be joining you for today's episode, Self-Managing a Home Care Package. As carers for both mum and dad, Coral and I worked with traditional providers and self-managed providers over the course of many years when our parents were each receiving home care packages. Today we'll be talking about when, in our situation, it was appropriate to self-manage and when it wasn't. Coral, mum and dad's situations were quite different, and therefore the package management options you chose for them were also different. Could you please tell our listeners what influenced you when it came to the style of home care provision for each of them?
Dad had dementia and his needs were very high and complex, as you know, Shell. We supported Dad and we also supported mum to care for Dad. I was still working full-time in the public sector then, and my kids were still at home and at school. So I had no capacity to do anything else.
Yep.
Mum wasn't able to self-manage Dad's package either because all her time was spent caring for Dad. And we had a really exceptional, traditional or fully managed provider who supported us really well. So fully managed worked well in Dad's situation. Mum had lower needs when she began with her home care package. She started off with a fully managed provider, but then I changed her over to self-management. Mum was still quite able and independent then, so it wasn't too time consuming to self-manage Mum's package.
So in Dad's case, his needs were such that all our time was spent caring for him and we just couldn't spread ourselves any further to self-manage his home care package. And as you said, Mum's situation was different. She started with a traditional provider and then you moved her over to self-management. What were some of the reasons you did that?
So Mum did start with a traditional or fully managed provider, as you've just mentioned, Shell, but over time, I became frustrated with things not moving as quickly as they needed to, as Mum's needs changed. Now, this isn't reflective of all traditional or fully managed providers, but in this case with Mum, the provider that she had at the time just wasn't supporting Mum as I felt they should. So I looked into self-management and then changed Mum over to a self-managed provider.
And you've worked with several providers, both traditional and self-managed, for many years. What would you say are the biggest advantages of using a self-managed provider?
Well, for me, I didn't choose self-management as an option because the fees were lower. The reasons I chose self-management for Mum were flexibility and choice. I have a very busy life, so following up with the provider to action requests was something I just didn't have the time to do.
Yep.
And as Mum's needs changed, I changed the kinds of services and support that she received. So I could get this done in a fraction of the time a coordinator could because my sole focus was Mum.
Yep. Did you experience any challenges as you moved Mum's package to a self-managed model? And if so, what were they?
So not initially. Moving Mum from her previous provider to a new provider was seamless. I knew it was going to take time to set everything up under the self-managed model, and I was probably a little naive as to how much time it actually took. As Mum's needs increased and she required assistance from caregivers to help her shower and prepare some meals and attend cleaning to her house, this is when I found it difficult. I couldn't find anyone on the online platforms who were willing to take this on. Everyone I contacted was either at capacity or had taken a full-time job elsewhere, or they just didn't get back to me.
Yep.
Eventually, I approached a traditional provider and I asked them if we could subcontract their workers. And they agreed to this and it worked really well.
Yep.
I think this isn't an option that really gets spoken about, and not every provider will agree to this. But because I know the system so well, I knew it potentially would work. So yes. It can work, but it does come down to the provider that you're subcontracting from agreeing to supply their caregivers or their support workers under the auspices of another provider and a self-managed provider in this instance.
Yep. But it did work well for us, Coral. I absolutely agree with you.
Yep.
Yeah. So do you think anyone can self-manage their home care package?
No, I don't, Shell. I mean, self-management is a great model, but it's not for everyone. People need to be realistic about their ability to source and coordinate carers and manage the budget. For people who were in a situation like ours that we were in with Dad, taking on that coordination role was just, it was not doable.
Mm.
But then there is the option of supported self-management, where people can choose a self-managed provider, which gives them the same flexibility and choice, but they have a dedicated coordinator who will assist in sourcing and coordinating their service provision.
Right. Do you think Mum would have been able to self-manage her home care package without your significant input?
No, not at all. Even when Mum was well and relatively independent, she would not have been able to do this. Mum was tech savvy, but as I mentioned before, it took a lot of time to set everything up and then as her needs changed, to source carers.
Yeah.
So Mum would not have known where to start with self-management.
Community pharmacies keep Australia healthy. With 6,000 locations nationwide, they're open early, late, and longer for convenient, accessible, and safe care. Pharmacists provide home medicine reviews, dose administration aids, and essential vaccinations. Thanks to additional training, many can now treat common conditions like ear infections, wounds, and skin issues. They also support management of chronic conditions in partnership with your healthcare team. Ask your pharmacist how they can help you and your family stay well. Coral, for the adult child who is helping a parent with self-management, could you give us an idea of some of the considerations you think need to be addressed before someone chooses this model?
It's important to understand your loved one's needs. It's not a one-size-fits-all. So as Mum's health began declining, my approach was a reablement approach. So we had lots of clinicians involved in Mum's care to literally keep her on her feet. It was also important for Mum and us to keep her connected to her community. So when she could no longer drive, we had a carer take her to her group exercise classes and to her weekly bridge class.
Yep.
Meal prep was something that we did, the evening meals. The carers would prepare her breakfast and her lunch for her, but we cooked the main meal, the evening meal, because it was just easy for us to do this. Yep. We were cooking dinner, we would cook some extra for Mum. So we didn't need to include meals in her care plan as such.
Yep.
And it wasn't until she became very frail that I had to source more carers. There's also more regulation around reporting within the sector now. So every kind of service provider or person that someone wants to engage under self-management needs to enter into a service agreement with the chosen provider.
Right.
Some service providers are sole traders and choose not to do this. So that can reduce options for people. If your preferred lawn mowing contractor doesn't want to go through the process of signing a service agreement, you'll either have to pay them outside of the package funding or find a different contractor who is willing to enter into a service agreement.
Yep.
And the other aspect to consider, which I've already mentioned, is the time it takes to set things up and to keep them humming along. If life circumstances change, and that might be your own health declines or you have a child that becomes unwell, it can be a stretch to keep on top of the day-to-day coordination of the service provision.
Yep.
For example, if your carer cannot come one day because they're sick, or maybe they're taking time off, you'll need to find another carer to support mum or dad in their absence. And this might not be as easy as it seems. It certainly, it was a challenge even for us.
Yeah. How should a person who is self-managing and experiences a significant change in their health deal with this situation?
The relationship that you have with your provider is a partnership. It's a two-way street. It's up to you to inform your provider if things change so that your provider can revise the kind of support that you need. You shouldn't wait until your annual review to let your provider know if you've had a serious health issue or a hospital admission. I always encourage people to tell their providers as soon as possible and to send their provider an updated health summary or a hospital discharge summary, and then to have their care plan revised to include the new support for their changed needs. It's important for people to know that if their needs aren't documented in their care plan and they ask for different services, their providers might decline a request because the request is at odds with the outdated information in the care plan.
Yep. Coral, do you think health literacy is more important if someone is self-managing rather than with a traditional provider? And if so, why?
Yes, I do think it's more important. And Shel, you mentioned previously that we work with a range of providers, both self-managed and fully managed. What we typically see with fully managed providers is that people are more likely to tell their coordinators about a change in their health status. The people we support who have self-managed providers, they know to tell us at least about their changed health status because we drum this into them.
Yep.
But too many people don't think to tell their self-managed provider. So some people tell us that it's none of their provider's business, but this comment really bothers me because it reveals that people don't understand the importance of collaboration, that these relationships that they have with their provider are actually partnerships. And so these people are often the people that have thousands of dollars in unspent funds and aren't receiving the services that they should, because their provider thinks that everything is okay when it's not.
Yep. So, Coral, if you were going to research a self-managed provider now, what are some of the things you'd be asking for or expecting of them?
So it's always good to do your research first. Seeing if your self-managed provider has the option of supported self-management. In case you begin the self-management process and find that the work involved is beyond you.
Yep.
I'd also ask the provider if they have access to registered nurses and allied health. Nursing and allied health is often overlooked in the self-management space, but these are vital services to keep people well. I'd also ask them about consistency with care coordinators. If you find that you don't click with your coordinator or your coordinator isn't responsive, knowing who to contact to have a conversation about assigning a different coordinator is important. And this also considers people from culturally and linguistically diverse communities who might prefer a coordinator who understands their cultural needs.
Yep.
I'd also be asking how much input you can have into drafting the care plan. With Mum's Care Plan, I basically wrote it and then ran it by the coordinator. And then we discussed it to ensure we were clear about my expectations and their ability to approve services or expenditure as Mum's needs changed.
Excellent. We know there is often confusion and frustration over what package funding can and can't be used for. Do you have any advice for people who want to approach their provider for an expenditure from their package?
What one person is approved to spend their package funding on doesn't mean someone else will be approved. Package funding expenditure reflects your needs as detailed in your care plan. And that reflects the health summary I've spoken about previously. And it also comes down to evidence. If the evidence is there, you will have an easier time in getting your provider to approve requests.
Right. What do you think are the biggest advantages you found in self-managing mum's package?
Flexibility and choice, and being able to respond to mum's needs quickly as they changed. So sourcing different services and supports to reflect her changed needs. They were the biggest advantages. Honestly, they were the advantages of self-managing mum's home care package, Shell.
Yeah. There's a lot to consider before you decide self-management is right for you. Don't decide based purely on cost. Self-management does require more input from the participant than if they were with a traditional provider. Listeners, it's been a pleasure having you with us today. We look forward to the next time you join us. And Coral, thank you, and we'll talk again soon.
Hey, care community. Thanks for listening to this episode. So you never miss a show, make sure you subscribe to our podcast. If you'd like to know more about what we do, head to our website, cmeacn.com.au.